Morning, everyone. It's good to open up the Word. Wasn't Linda's Word last week amazing? I hope you've really enjoyed the parables we've been doing. Next week, we'll take a little bit of a break from them and pick it up in the new year. We'll focus on the Advent, on Jesus through the month of December, and I'm very excited about that. Jesus, what else is there to talk about? You know what, folks? This is not a guilt trip. Okay? Trust me. That's not... If that's perceived as pressure, you misread the whole thing. This is an amazing church. And you are amazing people. I've been to your homes. You know how to practice hospitality. And welcome back. Did you sense hospitality here? Did the fact that I called you this week help a little bit in you returning? If Cody, I'm coming over, I'm going to use you as an illustration here. I won't embarrass you, I promise. So, Cody, I'm going to come over, and I'm meeting you in the community, and I'm saying, hey, man, why don't you come and check out our church? I give you one of these. What are the chances of you coming to church if I was to give you one of those?
This?
Yeah. Pretty good? Yeah? Thank you. Thank you. That wasn't so bad, was it? God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust you had a good week. Did you have a good week?
Yes.
It's good that Liz is back. And amen. I've known Liz a long time, and Liz is my sister. And you know what? You know what Linda did to your husband last week? She told a fishing story. And she's preaching here, and she goes like this. And I could just, and you could see the expression on her face. And she goes, and what did you call him? My brother? Oh, yeah, there's my buddy Bill over there. And so, well, you know what? Liz is my buddy then, okay? Anyways, it's really good to see you. And everyone say hi to Esther's parents. They're out in the lobby out there. So everyone say, hi, Esther's parents.
Hi, Esther.
Yep, they're waving to you. And so it's just good. We had a wonderful week this week. We went on Thursday to Peterborough. To the Bible College, to a master's Bible college and seminary. And all the students were going to the Peterborough Pete's game on Thursday evening. It was faith night. And so the chaplain from the bus accident, where's Humboldt, was there, and he was going to speak to everyone who wanted to stay at the end. And it was very powerful. And so all the master's students were there and some of the faculty, and are they ever a good team. They slaughtered the other team 8-2, and it was a good game. But the master's kids, they have the joy of the Lord in them. They're amazing, you know? And they have a jumbotron there, and, you know, they make a lot of noise at hockey games if you've ever been. The master's students were the loudest. And so they kept putting the jumbotron onto the master's students because it's good advertising. I don't know if for people to come to the game. But we had so much fun. And then we took out Jenna for a nice lunch on Friday before we drove home. And you probably saw it on Facebook, a little greeting from her. And what a tremendous young lady she is. And what an honor it was for us to hang out with her and so it was really good. I think the students are quite impressed. They're getting to know us now because I don't know how many pastors go and visit their students, but they should because these are tremendous people. They're going to be ministering in this church in the days to come. So it's best to nurture them and to honor them, and they're amazing. So, did you know that I love Christmas? How many of you have discovered that over the years? Like, you know, did you know that I love Christmas? How many of you love Christmas? I love this season. And, you know, the snow, but you know what? It is what it is. Okay, but the thing is, I love the Christmas season. Already, we've been watching some Christmas movies. The one that was made in North Bay here. Have you seen that one? It's good, isn't it? It's just good. It's so neat to see movies made in your community, and you know, you could see Greco's, and you could see it's so cool, you know, and I just love it. And so some of the movies. Some of the movies that have been filmed here, they're kind of Harlequin-y movies. So it's not really kind of like guy kind of movies. But the event, it's North Bay. Yes. And North Bay rocks, man. And it's good, you know. So we've already been watching movies and listening to Christmas music at home. And Darlene Check, who is... previously of Hillsong, so you know the song, some of you, Shout to the Lord, you know, Shout to the Lord, all the earth, hear us, you know. Anyways, so some of you don't know who she is, but like really back in the early 90s, the worship music, the way we have it today, really she was a catalyst for it, and it's just so worshipful and everything. So she has a new Christmas album out, and it's incredible. It's worship. And then Lauren Daigle, you know, how many, like, she's, what a voice. Like, where did this girl, man, she came right from heaven, right to earth, to you know, like, wow, what a set of pipes on that girl, you know. And so, so we've been listening to music and movies and stuff, but I'm going to tell you one other thing, but before we do, everyone just say thank you to Lee. Lee, don't go away. Just like, you know, when we came in this morning, this parking lot was 10 times worse than it is when you got here. And he was out by hand salting all the parking lot with a shovel, with bags that we had. So, you know, so just thank him on the way out, you know. He's amazing. And then how many of you got walked in by either Kevin or Ron or stuff? And, we love hospitality. Anyway, back to the message. So this week we're going to decorate our home. How many of you like decorating your home? We put up two trees. Well, Linda does. Yes. And we put up two trees, one in the dining room, one in the living room. But they're skinny trees. They're like those pencil pines, you know, because we have a little house. So we put up two there, and then we're going to come here on Friday, and some of you are going to come, and we're going to decorate. We have a new tree. This year we got it at Michael's on sale, big, big sale. It's 9 feet. So we're going to put that one up. And so we'll have three trees, and then next Friday night, it's a Christmas walk. It's awesome. How many of you are going to the Christmas walk? Whoo, it's so much. It's so good. There's like thousands of people in the streets. You're meeting up with old friends, making some new friends. We're supporting the local businesses. We're supporting the local businesses downtown. So don't eat dinner. Go to Mr. Poncho and before, you know. So. So we prayed for Mr. Poncho. We said, we want Friday to at the end of the day when he counts the receipts, we want it to be enough to cover his expenses for the whole year. So there you go. So how many of you have tried Mr. Poncho? It's good. You know, I am so glad that there's not another person in the restaurant or in the church who owns a restaurant. Because then I would be really in a conflict kind of place, and it just wouldn't be cool to do, you know. So, but you're such a nice guy, you know. And so this church gets decorated. Yeah, look the gang out there. There's the Mr. Poncho gang right at the back there. So, you know. So, So next Friday is that, and it's just, it's amazing. And then we'll be getting some Advent services where our entire focus will be on Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love this time of year, focus on baby Jesus, and it's amazing. And then we have a wonderful Christmas banquet. Get your tickets. It's amazing. Our Christmas banquet here is, amen? Yeah. Is it amazing? Like, I don't know where you could get a meal like you get here for what we charge for a meal. I don't think the price has gone up in how many years? 15 years? $12 each, something like that. So it's just amazing, you know? And then December 24th. December 24th is huge for me. And we all come together for Christmas Eve, and some of our finest singers and musicians and multimedia people put a presentation together fit for a king, and that king is Jesus. Amen. So when we put the service together, we honestly, everything, our hearts, everything is all prepared to an audience of one. And I think everyone who comes in here senses that as well. You know, so we want to practice hospitality, but we're not catering to the people. We're doing everything to an audience of one. Amen. And throughout the entire month, we get to love. This is what I put on Facebook this week. And through the entire month, we get to love and help those who don't feel quite like we do. Because not everyone does, because of life situations, right? So be on guard. I love the Christmas season. And did you know that, I will get to my message, and but did you know that people like to be appreciated? Did you know that? How many of you like to be appreciated? You know, I think we all do. So a psychologist, his name is William James, he said, in every person from the cradle to the grave, there is a deep craving to be appreciated. Feeling appreciated brings out the best in people. So one of my life goals is to appreciate people. And through this Christmas season, I am going to try and step it up, starting every day, just to appreciate people. And I would encourage you to do the same. My question is like, who can I appreciate today? And then even better than that is still, how many can I appreciate today? So I'm going to leave the house. I'm going to say, okay, I'm leaving the house, Ken. I'm leaving the house, Kevin. How many can I appreciate today? Nice, eh? Just appreciate people. Just love on them, you know? And this morning, I want to look at another parable, and this week the message is entitled The Parable of the Owner of the House. And the verses are up there. You can follow along. It's Matthew chapter 13, verses 51 and 52. And Jesus says, have you understood all these things? Jesus asked them, and they replied, yes. Yes, they replied. And he said to them, he says, well, if you understood, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Isn't that amazing? This parable of the owner of the house in Matthew's gospel, chapter 13, there are a number of parables that are contained in this chapter 13. I think about seven of them. And Jesus had taught the previous seven parables, and he asked his listeners, after he taught, he asked them, have you understood these things? So we have been teaching from parables each and every week. Have you understood these things that we have been talking about? Have you understood all these things? And they said, yes. And so Jesus used this parable to elaborate on everything that he had just taught them. So what can this parable this morning teach us? Well, several things. Several things. First, it teaches us this morning that what we have understood about the kingdom of God must be taught to others. Jesus had just finished teaching his disciples using seven parables, and he was checking to see if they understood everything that they caught, and were they being encouraged, and were they understanding that what they were taught needed to be passed on to others. Secondly, this parable teaches that there are all sorts of levels of understanding about the kingdom of God. And when Jesus' disciples replied that they understood, Jesus must have looked at them and said, "Really? You really do understand?" Maybe with a little bit of doubt. I don't know. I can't take that from the scripture. But knowing who they were as you read the scripture, I'm sure that Jesus probably thought, "Really?" But he didn't say that to them. He didn't put them down. You know, he didn't put them down. He didn't do that. He didn't pass judgment on the depth of their understanding, and neither should we do that to others or do that to ourselves. He simply said, "Okay, then, if you understand, here's your responsibility." That's what he said to them. And so when the disciples said, "Yes, we understand," I believe that they were being sincere, and no doubt they probably understood more than the crowds that who had followed Jesus, because they were hanging out with Jesus. They understood more than they used to. And sometimes we understand more than we used to, and we think that we've understood everything. Right? Isn't that true? You get a little bit of information, you think you know it all, and really you know nothing. Why do we do that? And then we debate with people with the little bit that we know, and we look foolish because we don't know how to bring it to a conclusion, because we don't know what we're talking about. Anyways, they understood more than they used to. If something becomes clearer to us, the danger is that we think we know it all. Amen? And the disciples, they were on this journey with Jesus, and they still had a lot to learn. And Jesus knew that their understanding was quite limited. But because they understood a little, he says, "Therefore, since you understand it, your responsibility is to teach it." He understood that they just knew a little bit. The third thing we learn in this parable is that Jesus totally upgraded the disciples' status. He totally upgraded their status. How many of you this morning would love your status to be upgraded? And by the King of Kings, by Jesus. Would you like Jesus to upgrade your status this morning? And that's what he did here. He upgraded their status. And the teachers, he says this to them. He called them scribes and teachers of the law. His disciples, he called them this. He upgraded their teachers of the law or scribes were known in ancient Israel to be among the most learned people in their time. And Jesus was actually placing this status upon his disciples. Even though they didn't know a lot, they still knew more because they hung with Jesus. They hung with Jesus, so they knew even more than what those people knew that were studying all their lives. So how could he do this? They were still uneducated, and yet he concluded that each of them are teachers of the law. So I conclude this morning that each of you are teachers of the law as well. No matter what position you're in church, you all know Jesus, don't you? So say, "I'm a teacher of the law." Say with me, "I'm a teacher of the law, Old Testament and New Testament." Yep, amen. Amen. The answer is that although they might not have been educated as the other scribes of the day, they were actually miles ahead of them in terms of spiritual understanding. Amen. And Jesus knew that he had given them more learning in just a few weeks than the scribes had gained in a lifetime of study. And this is what happens when you hang out with Jesus. Amen? This is what happens when you hang out with Jesus. Right, Lindbergh? Like, man, you come to the church here. You get saved. We ask in the service. We say, "Is there anyone here that would like to invite Jesus Christ into their life?" What do? You put up your hand, you accept him as your Lord and Savior into your life. The next thing you know, within weeks, you're off to YWAM in a discipleship school. Now you're a bushfire out of control for Jesus. And, you know, who could do that except Jesus? Things happen when you hang out with Jesus. Amen? He raises your status. You don't even have to do all that much. You just got to hang out with him, and he raises your status. Hey, teacher of the law. Ha ha. You see, folks, they had the best teacher of all, right? They had the best teacher of all. And guess what? So do we. We have the best teacher of all, don't we? Our teacher rocks, man. Jesus rocks. He's awesome. Jesus is awesome. I don't know anyone who is going to elevate my status like Jesus will, right? Are any of you here going to say, call me Prime Minister Ken Jeffrey here this morning? Or President Ken? But Jesus says he raises our status. He says, teacher, he calls you. Hey, teacher, teacher. I'll leave him alone. So why is this parable important? Well, some believe that this is one of the greatest parables that Jesus ever spoke because of its far-reaching implications, right? And there's all sorts of parables, but some people believe, and one person said this week as I was studying, it's important because it describes the need for both the Word, Old Testament, and the Spirit, New Testament. And that's what they got. That's what they got. And that's when everything started to happen. And so Jesus, even in their small understanding, he looked and he could see the glory of God. He could see the kingdom starting to manifest. And so he called them teacher, even in that they didn't know everything. And as one, and the Word and the Spirit, the dynamic combination of law and grace is incredible. The written word and the power of God combined in their heart. And this is what was taking place. So it was the Old Testament, it was the law and everything. And then the power of God, the grace of God to help them get through. And the combination of the two of them that came together, it's so powerful. That's what happened to you. Right? That's what happened to you. Is that what happened to all of us? So this parable shows us that we have a lot to learn. We have much to learn. Amen? I don't know it all. You know, so Ryrie asked me a question last night, and I gave her an answer, but it was because I kind of knew the answer. But you know what? Like, the thing is, most of the time I say, I don't know. I don't know. Like, how do we know the answer to things? We're like, you know what? Let's get together. Let's go into the Word. Let's get, you know what? But, like, I can't give you an answer because I heard something said 20 years ago and that's my answer. So this parable shows us that we have a lot to learn. Right? It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. We can't see everything immediately, right? As we study, because there is so much that is hidden under the surface. There is so much to grasp when it comes to the things of the Lord. Do you remember the words of Jesus in John 14:26? It says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of the things that I have said to you." Amen? Amen? So Jesus gave the disciples so much quality input that they must have thought, I don't know how I could remember all of this. How many of you are like that where you could say, oh my goodness, there's just so much. How could I remember this? You know, those of you who still remember verses that could quote them and everything, oh, like, I honor you. There's just so much. And Jesus was saying here, he was saying, don't worry, because when the Spirit comes, he will remind you of all the things that you have learned. So Maria, I'll use you as an illustration. I say, Maria, how's school? And she says, it's not bad, you know. And I said, you know, I've been praying for you. I wanted to get a hold of you to let you know I'm praying for you. She says, well, you could pray for me every day because I have an assignment every day. And I said, well, Maria, this is the way it works. If you need prayer and you come to this altar when you have an exam, you come to the altar and we will pray for you. But if you have not studied, don't come to the altar. Because if you've studied, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to memory and it will give glory to God. But if you haven't put in the time to put that forward, then don't come here and expect me to lay hands on you to deposit revelation into a lazy mind. Amen. But that's not her. She's a good studier. Amen? So the Spirit can take what we have learned and he could use it for great effort, great effect, great effect, great effect. Amen? I'm telling you, man, you go to a rock concert and you see all these, what do you call these flame thing? What do they call it? Yeah. But you want to know something, Peter? You want to know something? You know, you're at a concert, boo, all these, it's amazing. But if you're at the back talking to one guy or one girl or something about Jesus, the effect is like a lot more incredible than, amen? Hey, where'd those things come from? Onions. Do you like that? How many of you like onions? Is that making you hungry? So we learn from this parable that those who know their Bibles must still remain open to receive more knowledge and understanding. Wasn't that good this morning in our Connect Group discipleship class? So what do you suppose more is? Well, Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus wants us to esteem the real value or the real treasure. The owner of the house indicated a rich person. And when we have a combination of old and new, we are rich. Amen? When we have a combination of old, so they were rich. They were rich. And when we know the Bibles but understand the need for the Spirit as well, then what happens is this is true treasure. This is beyond rich. This is true treasure. And so Jesus wanted them. So he called them to teach others. Every disciple is called to be a teacher of others, passing on the knowledge of the treasure of the kingdom of God. Amen? The parable teaches us a strong truth. The true disciples of Christ had the same privilege and responsibility as the scribes and the householders in the thing here. And the Jewish scribe had two unusual traits. Amen? He was extremely devoted and he studied. And Christ wanted the disciples to develop the same devotion. He wanted them to develop the same devotion. He wanted them to study the kingdom of heaven, the gospel, and his word with the same kind of diligence. He called them teachers of the law. Therefore, he questioned them. He says, have you understood these things? And they answered, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And at this point, he calls them scribes, hoping to plant the idea that he always wanted them to remember. They must be devoted as scribes. But there was going to be one difference. They were not to be devoted to religion, but to him and the kingdom, the gospel, and his word. Amen. It's about a relationship. It's not about a religion. A religion is man's way of trying to get to God, and being a Christian is God's way of coming to man. And it's awesome. It's amazing. And so Christ was charging the disciples to share what they had learned. They knew the old truths, the message of the Old Testament, and now, since he had come, they were learning the new truths, the message of the New Testament. They were therefore responsible to share the old and the new. Amen? So close your eyes for a second. So, what would it look like in your life this morning if you, instead of just hearing the words that I spoke, but what would it look like in your life here this morning if you actually applied it in your life? Okay? Just think for a second. What would it look like if you applied what Jesus was saying to the disciples? Hello? What would it look like? Lindbergh, I'm so happy you're here this morning. Okay. Inviting, just like the disciples, they didn't have the full picture when they invited Christ into their life, but they did. And then Christ raised their status and called them a teacher of the law, like he's calling you this morning, even though you're not even a year as a Christian. Pretty amazing, eh? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? How many of you here this morning, you just need to walk closer with the Lord? Show me your hands. Okay. Keep your eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never invited Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. That means that for those of you who have, it's time to pray. Okay? Intercession mode, please. And maybe you're here this morning and you, like the disciples, don't really know a lot, but you know you need to invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I'm just going to, if I'm talking to you, if the Spirit of God is talking to you, and all you would do is, every eye is closed right now, you would just indicate by putting up your hand and say yes. I don't get the whole thing, but yes, I need to invite Jesus Christ into my life to be my Lord and Savior. So if that's you, would you just raise your hand and this morning, and just give you a second to ponder that thought. And if you're here this morning and you need to invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you know, it's funny. Do you remember, folks, we've all done this before? And you know the battle that takes place? It's like, should I or shouldn't I? And it's like that tension. You know you should, but you don't. And how many of you can relate to that? Yeah. So don't fight the tension, okay? You're here this morning, last time I'm going to ask, and you want to invite Christ into your life, into your heart, just raise your hand quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This section by the window, anybody? This section in the middle, one more time. Thank you. This section over here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God is good. So two people raised their hand, and I think three. Before anyone leaves here today, I'll make sure who. Because today, don't miss this opportunity, because today you could be born. We sing happy birthday to everyone every week. But when you invite Christ into your life, that day is your spiritual birthday. Amen. So today, there's a few of you that have had a spiritual birthday today. And I just thank you for that. Allow me, as one of your pastors, to invest in your life. Allow me to pour into your life, to answer questions that you would have that I don't even know the answer to. And I'll be honest, I'll say, I don't know. But let's begin to grow in Him. Amen. So let's stand together. Let's sing the Christian National Anthem together. Do you know what it is?